From the political friction of Washington to the economic friction inside the AI industry, and there is a significant amount of it right now. Sam Altman had a striking public moment this week when he warned about what he called unsustainable silliness in how neocloud startups are building GPU infrastructure. To decode that, neocloud companies are essentially data center businesses that rent out GPU computing power to AI companies. Dozens of them have launched in the past 2 years, raised billions in funding, and placed massive orders for NVIDIA chips, based on projections of AI compute demand that Altman is now suggesting are divorced from actual near-term revenue.
What makes this particularly pointed is who's saying it. Altman runs OpenAI, which is itself one of the largest consumers of GPU compute on the planet. He has every incentive to keep the supply side robust and prices competitive. When he signals that the build-out has gone beyond what demand can justify, he's not just making an economic observation, he's effectively warning that some of these startups are going to fail. And when they fail, there will be GPU capacity flooding back into the market.
For investors, this is a significant flag. Some of the largest positions in growth-oriented venture funds right now are in neocloud infrastructure plays. If Altman is right that the revenue assumptions are speculative, you're looking at a capital destruction event that could be quite painful, not quite the dot-com server farm collapse of 2001, but drawing from the same playbook.
Sundar Pichai separately made headlines this week with a more optimistic framing, telling IIT Kharagpur's 75th anniversary audience that AI would move from research labs into everyday work within 5 years. He's speaking for a company that just committed record capital expenditure on AI infrastructure. Alphabet's 2026 CapEx guidance was north of $75 billion, so Pichai has an obvious interest in that timeline being correct.
What's interesting is that Altman and Pichai are describing the same future but drawing very different conclusions about pace. Pichai is essentially saying the wave is coming, build for it. Altman is saying some of what's being built right now will be underwater before the wave arrives.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent entered the conversation too, and his framing was the most politically charged. He said AI companies did a horrendous job explaining the benefits of AI to ordinary Americans. That's a cabinet secretary critiquing an entire industry's communications strategy, which is unusual enough to be worth noting. The subtext is that the public's anxiety about AI, job displacement, safety concerns, privacy, has been allowed to fill a vacuum that the industry created by talking mostly to investors and engineers.
And Bessent also mentioned that 19 of the 20 G20 members agreed at their recent meeting that China's export subsidies are economically unsustainable, with Beijing the only dissenter. That's a remarkably unified position for the G20, which rarely agrees on anything. It suggests that the trade coalition the administration has been trying to build against Chinese industrial overcapacity is gaining real diplomatic traction, even if enforcement mechanisms remain weak.
This is actually where antitrust thinking becomes relevant, Marcus, because there's been an analogous conversation happening about how to think about platform dominance in AI. I think it's worth spending a moment on the legal framework here, because it comes up constantly, and the terms get thrown around imprecisely.
Go for it.
When people say a company is a monopoly in a legal sense, they don't just mean it's dominant or successful. Under the Sherman Antitrust Act, which dates to 1890, a monopoly has a specific legal meaning. It's a firm that has the power to control prices or exclude competition in a defined market, and that obtained or maintained that power through exclusionary conduct, not just by being better. Market share alone is not enough. Courts have found firms with 70 or 80% share to not be illegal monopolies if their position came from genuinely superior products and competitive innovation. The standard case is something closer to: you have dominant share, and you got or kept it by blocking rivals through contractual or technical means that had no pro-competitive justification.
Which is why the Google search antitrust case was so important. The DOJ didn't just say Google had a large share of search. They showed specific exclusive dealing arrangements with Apple and device manufacturers that courts found served primarily to foreclose competition.
Exactly. And the same framework is now being applied to AI. If a dominant AI company signs exclusive deals with cloud providers or builds hardware ecosystems that make it technically difficult for rivals to compete, those are the kinds of arrangements that draw antitrust scrutiny. The underlying technology being impressive doesn't insulate you. That's the legal landscape these companies are navigating as they get bigger.